Flooding is by far the costliest and most destructive natural disaster in the United States. It causes billions and billions of dollars a year, and it causes much more damage than wildfires, than hurricane winds, etc. It's really, flooding is the biggest source of disaster damage in the United States. And there's also a lot of money from the federal government to try to address flood problems.
I'm Annie Reese, and this is Politico Dispatch.
My name is Tom Frank. I'm a reporter at E&E News, and I write about climate change.
A new investigation from Politico's E&E News has pulled back the curtain on FEMA's flood grant programs.
So I looked at where the money has gone for projects that involve elevating individual homes. That is basically building a new foundation for homes so that they are elevated above flood level.
But that federal flood money has favored wealthy and white areas.
It's really an equity story about how this money is really unavailable to lower income communities or communities with large populations of minorities.
On the show today, how FEMA helps white and rich Americans escape floods. So how did this disparity work? Like, how would someone affected by a flood be too poor to qualify for the money?
So the trick is that in order to get, you know, up to say $200,000 or $300,000 from FEMA mm-hmm. to floodproof your home or elevate it so that it's safe from flooding, you, the homeowner, have to usually pay about 25% of the cost of the project. And that can easily be $50,000, maybe even $100,000. So in effect, this project is open only to people who have or can get $50,000 to $100,000 to pay their share of the cost. That is the cost of the project that FEMA, the federal agency, won't pay for. And then the other issue is that it's open only to people who own their own homes. And if you look at national statistics, there is a huge bias by both race and income level in terms of who owns the home that they live in. In other words, people who are white are roughly twice as likely as people who are Black or Hispanic to own the home that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
I think the moment that made me think I've got to write a story about this is when I came across one of these properties in Connecticut that had gotten money from FEMA. And I saw that shortly after the property owner had gotten the money to elevate it, the home, the property owner sold the property for, you know, several million dollars. And I just thought, that's a story right there. If people are getting government money, improving their home, and then directly profiting, that's what drove me.
So, for example, if I had been in Superstorm Sandy, say, and my home had been badly flooded, how much could that cost me and how much would I have been able to get from FEMA?
So rough figures are, you know, an elevation project costs roughly $250,000 mm-hmm. and you might get, say, 75% of that from FEMA. So, you know, a little less than $200,000, say, which means that you, the homeowner, are on the hook for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000.
Mm.
So these are very expensive projects. They're very time consuming. They take months. You have to hire a contractor who basically lifts up your house on a bunch of jacks and builds a new foundation. So these are very hard, very difficult, very expensive projects.
What are some of the most egregious examples of these wealthier homes where it sounds like it was a huge part of adding property value? Obviously, they had to pay a lot themselves, but get, you know, $100,000 from FEMA and then sell their home at a profit because now it's, you know, been elevated.
Right. So a lot of elevation projects were done in coastal Connecticut after Superstorm Sandy in 2012. And the areas, the parts of Connecticut where this money went, are some extremely wealthy communities, some of the richest communities in the nation. There's one community called Old Greenwich, which is in the basically the southwestern corner of Connecticut, right on the coast. And there you're talking about houses that are worth $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. The homeowners of those houses were getting those, were getting money from FEMA. I found one instance where someone who owned a $3 million home got $100,000 from FEMA, and then 66 days after the elevation project was finished, the homeowner sold the home for more than $3 million.
Wow.
And made a big profit off of what the home had been bought for. Now, just note that there are a lot of things that drive up the cost of a home, so it wasn't just that the home had been elevated, but it certainly, FEMA itself says in its own literature that elevating a home will increase its property value. The other benefit, which is huge in terms of money, is what happens to the premium you pay for flood insurance on your home after it gets elevated. And I talked to one homeowner in Jacksonville who was looking at having to pay $20,000 a year in flood insurance because her home on the water had been flooded repeatedly. And that's how insurance works. When you file a number of claims, your rates go up. So then this homeowner got $450,000 from FEMA, which paid most of the cost of a $500,000 elevation project. And after that project was done, after FEMA gave this person $450,000, her premiums went from $20,000 a year to $800 a year. So she not only got a $450,000 grant from FEMA, she got literally hundreds of thousands of dollars over her lifetime in savings on her flood insurance premium. These projects are just an incredible boon to the people who get the money. One thing that surprised me was how the money was allocated in Florida. And Florida is really a unique state in the country because there's no other state where such a large percentage of the population is exposed to flooding, because flooding occurs all over the coast and everyone lives all over the coast in Florida. And more than half of the money went to this little collection of seven tiny towns that you've never even heard of that have like a few thousand people. And they're all more than 90% white. And in Florida, to have a town that's more than 90% white is really difficult because Florida as a state is really only half white. It's got a huge Hispanic population and, of course, a large Black population. So that surprised me to see that so much money was concentrated in such a small number of towns that were so overwhelmingly white.
And it sounds like these FEMA grant programs are really competitive, but that as important the fund is for elevating individual homes, it's really kind of only a Band-Aid solution. Like, is it accurate to say that more money for individual homes means less money for community projects to help infrastructure?
It does. So FEMA has a couple of grant programs, and those are programs that basically get allocations from Congress every year. So every dollar of those programs that goes to elevate a house is a dollar that doesn't go to another project, which might be a project that would benefit an entire community, say, improving the flood drainage system for a community. So it is absolutely a zero-sum game. There are a lot of reports out there and a lot of experts out there who say that elevating a single home is one of the least efficient ways of spending the limited money that you have on flood mitigation. And study after study, report after report has shown that what we call community projects have a much greater value in terms of the amount of flood damage they will prevent. And Deanne Criswell, the administrator of FEMA herself, has said publicly numerous times that she wants to get away from what she has called this house-by-house mitigation and put more of FEMA's money into these community projects that have a wider and larger benefit.
So what is FEMA doing, if anything, to address this disparity that you've been outlining?
FEMA knows the problem, and FEMA has taken a couple of small steps, I would say, to try to address the disparity. So one thing FEMA did last year, and it's something that will show up presumably this year when FEMA releases the next round of flood mitigation money, is basically they have given bonus points, if you will, to disadvantaged communities. The way FEMA allocates money is communities apply for flood money, and FEMA basically scores them, gives them a numerical ranking based on a point system. And so FEMA has created basically a new category in which a community can earn points by being disadvantaged, meaning by being low income, low education levels, large minority populations. So it's really trying to basically give extra points to communities that have traditionally not gotten a lot of this money.
What are you really watching out for in the coming weeks on this?
I think the thing to look for is that in the next month or two, FEMA is going to announce the winners of the latest annual grants for flood mitigation. And that will be a real test case for FEMA to see, is it giving more money this year to disadvantaged communities than it has in the past? And FEMA is under a lot of pressure to do that. And this story is going to add pressure to them. So I'll be watching to see what FEMA does and also if any states do anything.
Tom, Frank, thank you so much for talking with me.
My pleasure.
Also in the news, the Justice Department has released portions of a previously unseen alternate version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on ties between former President Donald Trump and Russia. The 37-page report is heavily redacted and was released under the Freedom of Information Act. And President Biden and the First Lady are scheduled to travel to Uvalde, Texas on Sunday to grieve with the community after a gunman killed 19 children and two adults at an elementary school this week. Today's episode of Politico Dispatch included music composed by the mysterious Brickmaster Cylinder. Be sure to follow Politico Dispatch if you haven't yet, and if you can, leave us a rating and review. It helps more people find the show. Dispatch's senior editor is Raghu Manavalan, and our executive producer is Jenny Ament. I'm Annie Reese. Thanks so much for listening.